So I'm not a disciple. I'm not a disciple. I do discipling. Because I hear being a disciple as a bit passive, just kind of, you know, the bird with its little beak open, glug, 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 glug. I experience being taught and the Dharma as taking a lot of effort. That I need to work quite hard to be receptive. I need to listen very hard. I need to think, what don't I understand? It's work. It's exciting work, but it's not. It doesn't feel like just sitting there, if you see what I mean. So I think of it very much as discipling, being in a process of learning. And the image that came for me straight away was, what I'm doing is I'm standing on a double vajra. Try standing on a double vajra. It is... you're in that kind of force field, in a way. It's a very strong place to be, but comfortable it isn't. At least I don't experience it as comfortable. There are other ways of expressing that, I guess, because, of course, the Vajra is about integration, isn't it? You say the word integration to me, it feels as though things kind of, oh, well, that's solved then, it's all over, I know who I am, forget it. But if I think of standing on a Vajra, I think... what next? What's going to come out of my mouth? I don't know. Also, another way of expressing it might be the middle way. So we have these strong tendencies and trying to find, you know, a sensible path through. I just prefer the Vajra. Because it keeps you on your toes. Now, I can feel my toes working to keep your balance. So physical toes, but also mental toes, emotional toes. I don't know what spiritual toes look like, but I feel as though they're kind of flexing and tensing when I'm standing in this place. So my fear all along has been about, oh, I'm a Taurian, I'm going to settle down and get comfortable. I don't know where that idea came from. I don't think I know how, or I haven't known how so far. But yes, that fear that I might assume that I know something now, that it's kind of sorted. I will give you the Dharma. You know, how long have you got? It's this size. That's not my experience at all. I experience being a practitioner. Ooh, that's a noun, isn't it? That's dodgy. Anyway, practicing as being ongoingly challenging, so that I do feel really alive with it. And if I don't, I know I've kind of, you know, something's gone wrong somewhere. So, I think actually Dharma Dinner mentioned the word spiritual tension. So that's another way of what I'm trying to describe. So back to the double vajra. Double vajras have two axes, don't they? And your axes may not be the same as my axes, but the first two that came to mind for me that I'm just going to spread out a little bit. One is head-heart, and the other is conformist-rebel. So I know about all those four bits, but how they relate to each other. So head, I'm extremely over-educated. I've had years of it, and I've just moved house, so I don't know how many books I moved. I'm kind of up to here and beyond with words and books and wise people and wise this and that and the other. And I had a university education, which was all about being critical, finding what was wrong with an argument, not trusting anything, and what's the basis of your assertion, all that kind of stuff. And I still find it really difficult to just think. Somehow all that education didn't quite show me how. I don't know, I must be rather unreceptive in some ways. So, head on one side, trying to talk to heart on the other end, which is totally unreliable. My heart goes... the first time I went to Tara Loka, which was my contact with the Dharma, My heart just went, yes! No argument. My head didn't have a word to say. It was just quite straightforward. But, so of course I trust that heart. But then Women, Men and Angels comes out. It's the once and only time I've thrown a book across the room. So I can be quite reactive. No, not me, reactive. So yes, so when it comes no, it comes quite loud. And I do have to think about it a bit more. So I'm just aware that that level of emotion, and slightly out of control emotion, if you like, I have to do something with that, don't I? Otherwise it's going to cause trouble. So that brings me on to conforming and rebelling. In the first group we had, whenever it was, days ago, I had good fun rebelling for a bit. And I just noticed how much energy there was behind it. It was such fun. And normally, I'm giving Dharma talks and I'm saying the right thing. And it's not that I don't believe it, but somehow it was just much more fun being a rebel. So I was thinking about my conditioning, of course, and thinking, I'm in my 70s. Haven't I got somewhere with my conditioning yet? So I had very liberal parents and they would not tell me what to do or what not to do, which created, you'd think that was great, wouldn't you? But actually what it created for me was this real, I had to work really hard to work out what they weren't saying. And my friends, at school would say, I'm not allowed to wear makeup until I'm 16 or whatever it was, and I can't go out. And I'd make up rules that my parents had given me because I didn't have any. I think I might be a conformist. So there's a side of me that really wants someone else to know. I'm sure there is someone somewhere that knows what I should do, is going to tell me, and they're just, that ordination team, when I was in my process, they would not tell me. They knew straight away, as soon as they saw me, but would they say, no? But on the other hand, of course, if they had... Goodness knows what I would have done. I would have been really bad-tempered and stroppy and bloody. So, what is all that about? Somewhere there must be a middle way, mustn't there, that's got some of that energy in it, rather than just kind of bottling down and thinking, okay, being a good girl looks like this. So that's why I'm standing on a double vajra, to find out. So another way I experience it is that it's where if I just stay here, then I'm going to collide with the Dharma. I'm going to collide with teaching. I'm just going to be here and something else is going to happen. But it's hard work. It's hard work to just stay here, actually, and not think, well, I think I know. I've heard all the Dharma teachings I need. Thank you very much. But this is where I'm staying here because other people know more than I do. They understand what the Buddha was saying more than I do. Banti, of course, understands a whole lot more than I do. So I just have to stay here and feel that, oh, do I want to be here? So what helps me just not run away or give up or whatever, is doing the practice we've been doing, actually, the Kalyanamitra Yoga, the Guru Yoga, whatever you call it. When I was first introduced to that, I think on my first convention, the sense of relief I had that whatever my preferences were, whatever my kind of rebelliousness was, just keeping myself in that place was just exactly where I needed to be. It was absolutely fantastic. So when I'm there, all my kind of disagreements or misunderstandings or, well, why couldn't he say it this way, they're totally irrelevant. So there I am. I'm in my place. I'm in the blue sky. Everybody's there. There I am in the lineage. Don't know who's beneath me, but there's lots of people. So I've heard it described as a waterfall. So if you think of the Buddha at the top, Shakyamuni, there's a waterfall comes down, a waterfall of light, to mix metaphors thoroughly, is coming towards you through all these beings, through Bhante and my preceptors. What do you do with a waterfall? You play. You drench yourself in it. You splash about. It's fantastic. It's really exciting, and there's so much energy in it. What's clever about a waterfall of light is that you don't get wet. You could say you get drenched in the Dharma if you keep that image, but you could also say just feeling blessed with that light. So when I'm there, I'm receptive to the Dharma Niyama, aren't I? But saying it like that is so different to me. When I'm there, I'm totally in love with the Buddha. I'm in love with Bhante. I might not like Bhante all the time, but I'm so in love with him because here's the teaching. And it's coming through my teachers, my particular preceptors, Sangadevi and Anjali, who I think has just gone, actually. Never mind. So, yes, it just feels so much blessing. So I feel completely in touch with gratitude, and all my niggly bits about wanting it my way, just where were they? What was all that about? And if I can just let that flow and be there, then what's going to stop it? Nothing. It's going to fill the world, isn't it? And if we're all at that, how exciting is that? So, discipling. Tell me how to spell it.